He is risen. Nicely done. What a great looking group of people this morning. So happy you're sharing Easter with us this morning. When I first started writing this sermon, I got to about 10 pages. Don't worry, I hacked it down. 9.5. So you're going to be all right today. I'm going to stick to my notes because there's some important things I really want to say. If I ask you to think of one word that fills you with the most joy, what would it be? You don't have to tell me right now. You can save that. Keep it in there. Something that brings you so much joy. I mean, the spiritual people will say, Jesus. Thank you. That's good. And that's not a bad answer. What else? What else brings you joy? Instant joy. Is it the sound of your kids? Maybe sometimes no, but maybe sometimes, oh, they're such angels. And sometimes, all right, there's going to be a bucket of water and you in it. I want you to think of Mary and what she went through in her deepest grief at the tomb. She went expecting to prepare Jesus' body. She left full of the kind of joy where she practically flew across the ground. And in John 20, Mary says, Rabboni, when this person speaks. It's not the same as rabbi. Rabboni is a way to address God. For Mary, that one word in that moment had to be the most joyous word ever spoken. Mary doesn't even know it's Jesus until he says her name. We all know who is speaking when they say our name. There's a difference between graduation day and they say, Mark Davis. And you're like, or my mom going, Mark Davis. There's a big difference. When Michelle raises her eyebrow, it's nonverbal. You just pray it's not pointed at you. But when you hear your name in different tones, it either brings across joy or gripping fear. There's many a times, and what do we usually do then when we're in fear? We usually go, wasn't me. Well, there's a difference between your name. And when Jesus said Mary, I can guarantee you she knew. Just like when your mother or when they call your name. The same thing. Whether the angels rolled the stone away or whether it was because of an earthquake or maybe Jesus did it himself, whatever, the point is, we know that Mary and the other women did not do it. We know by fact. The stone could not keep Jesus in. And I think, you know, I have lots of conversations around this time of year with unbelievers that don't understand the story, and they come up with all sorts of different stories. And this week I've heard all sorts of ones that it was when the Easter bunny came out of the tomb, it was when the Easter bunny's birthday. I've heard it all. And it would be easy to be offended by that. But I'm here to tell you this morning, don't be. Because if you're having a dialogue with people about Jesus and what he did for us and what he did for them, guess what? You're having dialogue. It's a good thing. And so the tomb was empty. We know this. The stone was rolled away. And we could go into all the background of how heavy the stone was and who would have moved it and all that. We don't need to do that. But I want to say to you today, what is that stone for you? Is it pain? Is it depression? Is it age? Is it divorce? Is it betrayal? Is it loneliness? Is it addiction? Or is it grief? Because the stone has no power over Jesus Christ. Jesus is not in the tomb. He has removed it. The stone was rolled away. The gospel is, they vary in their accounts of the resurrection, but the one common denominator in all four of the gospels is the scene where just Mary Magdalene and Jesus were talking. Jesus says something. He says, do not cling. And so this word cling can also mean cleave. And what if Jesus wasn't trying to say, let go of me, but let me go? Now, you can imagine the relationship they've had. All the disciples have had a relationship with Jesus. And for them to, it would be pretty amazing if someone you loved passed away and came back, and then you're like, I'm not letting you go this time. And that's the reaction. That's the interaction they're having. Jesus was saying, let me go. Jesus was giving the ministry to Mary and the disciples. He was saying, you are going to run things now. You are going to take care of the people. You are going to speak of me, and I'm going to empower you. So he gave this ministry. Jesus passed it along. He gave it to the disciples, and he gave it to you, and he gave it to me. That old phrase, you are the only Jesus some people will ever see, is scary true. Because we're not perfect. We make mistakes, and as we learned on Good Friday, we don't have to be perfect. When you go on a missions trip, when you interact with people every day, you are Jesus in the world. We are the hands and feet and the eyes and the ears and the heart of Jesus. Jesus is part of us. He exists here and he exists now. Who can do that? Who can be there and exist in this here and now through us? Well, nobody but Jesus. And we're going to play a video right now.
Hurting, helpless, and the hopeless.
What kind of a man can heal the pain with a single soft touch?
What kind of a man multiplies hope and freedom as easily as he does fish and bread?
Who else can turn our dusty old religion into a brand new relationship?
What kind of man would claim to be God in the flesh, but then allow that same flesh to be torn apart?
What kind of a man would embrace betrayal?
Insults,
torture,
mockery,
and death,
and yet live to tell about it.
Nobody but Jesus.
Nobody but Jesus.
Nobody.
Who could speak with such authoritative words and yet drench them with compassion?
Who could be strong enough to still the storms, yet be so meek and humble?
Who could allow the hands that created the universe to also be nailed into a wooden cross?
Who could choose patience despite deserving immediate and complete obedience?
Who could be blameless and without fault and still endure the judgment others deserve?
Nobody but Jesus.
Nobody but Jesus.
Nobody. Who will love us like him? Who will be with us when all others have left?
Who comforts us in suffering? Who is our peace in the midst of anxiety?
Who reassures me when my mind is drowning in doubt?
Who accepts me as I am, with no strings attached?
Who else would die for me while I was sinking in sin?
Who else can turn the grave into Easter morning?
Nobody.
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 Nobody but Jesus.
That's the final video in our 40 days with Jesus. And as we've been going through along, we've been following the path of Jesus through Palm Sunday and everything through Advent. Lent. I'm not thinking about Christmas right now. I want to read a psalm to you and then give you a perspective of what the disciples and Jesus do. And I want to try and do it as detailed, but not keep you here forever. We do have a baptism coming up this morning, and I'm excited about that. And so, but I want to read this psalm to you, and it's 118, verses 1 and 2, and then verses 14 to 24. It says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Let Israel say, his steadfast love endures forever." Verse 14, "The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. Glad songs of salvation are in the tents of the righteousness. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord exalts. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly." 17, "I shall not die, but I shall live and recount the deeds of the Lord. The Lord has disciplined me severely, but he has not given me over to death. Open to me the gates of righteousness that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it. I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. On this day, above all days, it's easy for us as Christians, especially in Canada, to be excited and full of passion, and Christians all around the world that aren't oppressed about Easter and about Palm Sunday and about this particular psalm. Nobody but Jesus rose from the dead, and after dying on a cross, we're to rejoice and be glad in it. Nobody but Jesus would cause the angels to meet his followers at the tomb the first Easter morning, tell them, he is not here, he is risen. Thank you, we're going to work on that. And on this day, rejoice and be glad in it. Nobody but Jesus laid down his life as a sin sacrifice and made a way for his people to experience a salvation. But mankind was always in need of someone to rescue us. We've always needed a rescuer from the Garden of Eden. We have always known that we've needed to be saved, but we just don't know what it is sometimes. Sometimes we struggle through our process. This is nothing new. People on the streets of Jerusalem at this time saw Jesus before, came riding in on a donkey. We did this on Palm Sunday, the triumphal entry where they were crying out these phrases found in Psalm 118. Save us, we pray, O Lord. O Lord, we pray, give us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. Psalm 18:25 to 26. The people were crying out for a Savior to save them. They saw Jesus as the one who could rescue them from their oppression of Rome. And we had talked about how there were different views of Jesus, but they wanted a king to come in physically and take over and politically in every way. I don't know if you know this, but Psalm 118 is one of the most often quoted psalms in all of the New Testament. It is the only psalm quoted by all four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, each quoted three times, and John quotes from it once. Luke 13 and Matthew 23, two different times when Jesus wept over Jerusalem and lamented that Israel would not come to him. He quoted from Psalm 118. And although this psalm is not traditionally to be the first passage that somebody thinks about when celebrating Jesus' victory over death and sin, it for sure speaks as a passage that speaks about the Savior's name, and gives cause for Christians to rejoice. And this psalm of praise is an ancient song that the people of God used to rejoice for centuries. So Psalm 118 is huge, and if Jesus is using it, we should look at why. Well, Psalm 18 is known as the Egyptian Hallel Psalm. Hallel is the Hebrew word that means to praise, which we get the word hallelujah. Nice. The reason it is known as the Egyptian praise psalm, is because it's the one that would have been sung out for centuries for them to remember God rescuing them from Egypt, taking them out of slavery, rescuing them, and being with them throughout their time. The event of this rescue is known as the Exodus, and we've talked about that before. It's a story that this thing has been celebrated over the ages because he's a God of strength. He is a God of love and goodness, and he demonstrated on behalf of his people that love and that goodness all throughout when Israel was in the desert from then on. It is a story that foreshadowed another rescue of the people. So the Exodus and God pulling them out of slavery is a foreshadow of Easter. It's a rescue, but not just for these people, for the world. And until we get our mind around that, we're going to struggle. So God has saved Israel out of Egypt, out of slavery, with the Exodus and with Easter, he has saved the world out of sin. Not out of Egypt, but out of sin. And we should never get over that rescue. We should never think of it as a casual thing. That's why Good Friday and Easter Sunday are so important. If you want to be a Christian, this is it. Christmas is great, but Christmas doesn't do anything unless Easter is here. I love Christmas. But every time I hit Christmas, I'm like, yeah, but Easter, that's the one. That's the one for me. I love Good Friday because any pain I've ever experienced is nothing compared to the pain that Jesus Christ experienced on a cross. I put this thing up this year. This is a beast. Every year, the lovely Homfelds put it up. I didn't ask them because I forgot. I am losing my mind, but that's fine. Someone else will find it somewhere. And I got in there, and I put the plates on the bottom. And I lifted. I was going to do it all by myself, because that's what men do. But I couldn't get that other beam up, so I asked Christian to come help me lift it up. That cross piece is heavy. And to lift it up over your head and put it up there, it hurts. It's not fun. And I got a sliver. Now, don't laugh. Don't laugh. Don't laugh at me. It hurt. Michelle says I'm very sensitive. I am. Sensitive hands. It hurt. And I felt kind of dumb because I didn't talk about it to anybody, but I'm like, this thing's really bothering me. It hurts a lot. And then I'm like, I can't imagine Jesus taking a part of that and walking through the streets with it while he's already been beaten, while he's already been abused. I mean, there's so much pain he's gone through. And then lug that thing up a hill. And we can debate into what the cross looked like. Let's just go with it. It looks like this for now. Having that thing strapped to you is not going to be a good day. And he did it and carried it after all of that. So we can never take lightly Good Friday or Easter Sunday. The Jewish people have never gotten over the rescue from Egypt, nor should they. Just like we should never get over our rescue from sin. To this day, the Jewish people sing the Hallel Psalm and celebrate with feasting to remember the Passover of the angel of death when the lamb's blood was put on the door of all the Hebrews that lived in Egypt. And from that night, the Passover recorded in Exodus 12 has been celebrated with songs and a big symbolic meal to remember what God has done on his behalf. When we meet for meals today, you got your turkey in the oven or ham or I don't know what are you eating? You got it in the oven today? Yes? You don't have to raise your hand. Or maybe you're not cooking. Maybe you're going out. Either way, you're celebrating. You're getting together to celebrate. Family, yes. Family that maybe you don't always get to see or you're just getting together with loved ones. But that's not the only reason you should be. Easter is about remembering what he has done for us. He defeated death on a cross. And so today when you meet and you go an old school on you, break bread, you know what? Remember him. The reason why you're able to sit down with your beautiful family, your beautiful friends, is because of Easter. Never forget it. And so Psalm 118 would be sung after the Passover celebration meal was eaten. So after Jesus enjoyed the Last Supper Passover meal with his disciples, Jesus and his disciples would have done something together. They would have sung the Hallel. Old Testament Levitical priests did it. When you would walk in, they would sing it. You would respond back. And Psalm 18 was meant for individual giving thanks to the Lord, and it was for the community to give thanks for the Lord. So we would do it individually, and then we'd do it as a community. So individually and corporate worship was happening. And so I can just imagine the emotions of Jesus, and this is where we're going with this, if you were wondering. The emotions of Jesus of singing the song of the Hallel, praise psalm. Oh, those P's are getting me today. Jesus singing that at his meal, knowing what he was about to do. Think about it. He knows this is happening. They don't get it. And when he sings it, I can't imagine what he was feeling inside. Jesus and his disciples would have made their way through the Psalms. It would have been, the Lord is my strength and my song in Psalm 18, verses 14 to 16. He has become my salvation. Glad songs of salvation are in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord exalts. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. They would be singing this song that had been sung by their ancestors for generations. What are the feelings Jesus would have felt during this? Verse 17, I shall not die, but I shall live and recount the deeds of the Lord. Jesus is about to fulfill verse 17, and he's singing it with the disciples, and they don't understand it. All the prophecies, all the scriptures, this is it right now, the official rescue of mankind. Death did not end. He will live and will rise. Death will not hold Jesus down. He will be resurrected and has been resurrected. But when they're singing this, I can't imagine. Psalm verse 18, chapter 118. The Lord has disciplined me severely, but he has not given me over to death. Meaning that death is not the final verdict for our existence because of Jesus Christ. And then they would have moved on. Open to me the gates of righteousness that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it. I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. And then it moves to 22 and 23, and it says this. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. Have you ever seen a cornerstone? They can be small. I was in the States, went into a castle, and they built a whole castle around this tiny little stone. You take that out, the whole place falls apart. It's legit. It's how they built things. Who would have thought? Bury that thing deep because if somebody finds it, they're going to pull it out. I wanted to touch it. Wasn't sure how stable it was. But when you build on those, everything else rests on it. He is the cornerstone that the builders rejected. Everything is built around Jesus. And so this cornerstone, in its original meaning, as it was written, was originally written for Israel, because Israel had been rejected by other nations. But God was going to make Israel the focal point of his kingdom around at that time. Jesus is now the focal point of this foundation that God is building. And I want to read in Matthew chapter 21, verse 37, it says, finally, he sent his son to them, saying, they will respect my son. But when the tenants saw the son, they said to themselves, this is their heir. Come, let us kill him and have his inheritance. And they took him and threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. When, therefore, the owner of the vineyards comes, what will we do to those tenants? They said to them, he will put those wretches to a miserable death and let out the vineyard to the other tenants, who will give him the first fruits of their season. Jesus said to them, you have never read in scriptures, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore, I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to the people producing its fruit. And the one who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces. And when it falls on anyone, it will crush him. When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard his parable, they perceived that he was speaking about them. In this parable, Jesus is quoting Psalm 118, 23 and 22, and relating it to himself, relating it to the fulfillment not of the parable, but also of the metaphor of the cornerstone. He is making a bold statement to the religious leaders at this time. Nobody can save us but Jesus. Nobody can give us salvation but Jesus. And it is found in no other name and no one else. As Psalm 118:24 reminds us of all, we've sung it throughout the ages, especially on Easter. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice. Do you remember that? This is the day. This is the day that the Lord has. Help me out. That the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it, and be glad in it. Oh, this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord hath made. Beautiful. Singing so good this morning. So we worship Jesus with our today with all our hearts, and we rejoice because of him. We are full of gladness because he has saved us, he has rescued us. If you don't know Jesus this morning, I'm here to tell you that he has rescued the world. We're no special, we're not perfect. He has rescued all of us. He is the cornerstone, he is the foundation of us being free. Free from the grip of sin. Will you make mistakes? Yep, we all do. Will you offend people? Guaranteed going to happen. Yes. Will you be perfect? No. But because of him, you can rejoice. The death cannot keep us. Because he is risen. He is risen. I have to ask you two questions today, and then we're going to go to our baptism. What is the stone for you? If you're searching for God, if you're struggling with God, what is that stone that you're struggling with? And what do you need to let go of today? What do you need to be rescued from? I'm not expecting you to answer that right now. But I'm saying to you, what do you need to be rescued from? Sometimes it's yourself. We get in the way. What's the stone to you that Jesus needs to pull aside? And what do you need to be rescued from? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that throughout history you had a plan. And even though we didn't see it at the time, we see it now. Help us. Help us to understand what you're doing. Help us see clearly. Don't let us get in the way of ourselves. I ask for clarity of mind for all those here that are searching for you. And for those who already know you, thank you. We thank you for what you're about to do here this morning. And we thank you that he is risen.